Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam's Nikah announcements. We begin with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a'linu nikaha waj'aluhu fil masajid. Announce the nikah and perform them in the masjid. For a list of the first night sunnats, email hbabat@radioislam.co.za. The nikah of Ahmed Nanabai, the grandson of Maryam Nanabai and the son of Zakir and Mujiba of Fordsburg, to Bilqis Badat, the daughter of Nazir and Sumaya of Lanesia. This nikah taking place on the 19th of October after Isha Salah. The venue is the Nurul Islam Masjid here in Lanesia. That is the nikah of Ahmed Nanabai to Bilqis Badat. Nikah taking place after Isha Salah at the Nurul Islam Masjid here in Lanesia. A message to the bride from her mother. I have mixed emotions as you are about to embark on the Mubarak journey of marriage. If I could give one more thing in life, I would give you the ability to see yourself through my eyes. Only then would you realize how special you are to me and all those who know you. You have blossomed into a strong young lady, mashallah. Your humbleness, generosity, love and care know no bounds. Your laughter and presence will be missed. May you and Ahmed have a blissful marriage with Afia, inshallah. Ameen. That is a message to the bride from her mother. And another message for the bride, it's from her choti mami. Bilqis, our pops, but my darling, when I look at you, I can't believe where all the years have gone to. I've loved watching you grow from being the most confident 6-year-old to the dynamic woman you have become with the best of akhlaq. You have given me moments of laughter where only we were laughing and we only understood the joke. I cherish our talks in the car and our trips to the mall like two rich ladies. My words cannot truly justify how I feel and what I want to say. I am grateful that you have me a part of your life. May Allah protect you, guide you, and honor you. Ameen. You are embarking on a new chapter of your life, so be strong, be bold, be kind. Never forget we are always here for you. May Allah keep you and Ahmed happy in this world and the next. You are truly our treasure. The next nikah, the nikah of Arshad Ali Muhammad, the son of Ahmed and Roshan of Lodium, to Amara Ibrahim, the daughter of Nasir and Arifa of Lodium. This nikah taking place after Maghrib Salah at the PMT Masjid in Jewel Street, Lodium. That is the nikah of Arshad Ali Muhammad to Amara Ibrahim. This nikah taking place after Maghrib Salah at the PMT Masjid in Jewel Street, Lodium. Message or a dua for the couple. O Allah, bless this marriage and let it be a means for the couple to become closer to you in love and devotion. Let it be a source of untold blessings, happiness and joy. Ya Allah, protect this marriage from the whispers of shaitan. Give this couple the strength to live together in justice, equity, love and mercy. My Lord, let this marriage bring untold blessings to them individually, to the families, and their children, inshallah. O my Creator, bless them with children who will be a source of great joy and happiness. O Allah, give them the love which you had blessed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Khadija radiallahu anha. O Allah, guide this marriage to the best understanding, happiness, prosperity and success. Today we welcome Amara with open arms into our home. You have definitely won over the love of Arshad. With lots of love from Arshad's mummy and daddy for his sister and sister-in-law. The nikah of Sajid Jogi, the son of the late Hafiz Hassan and Bibi Aisha of Mafeking, to Tisneem Arbi, the daughter of Zainul Abidin and Yasmin of Khabaroni, Botswana. This nikah taking place on the 20th of October after Asr Salah. The venue is the Jamia Masjid in Khabaroni. That is the nikah of Sajid Jogi to Tisneem Arbi, nikah taking place on the 20th of October after Asr Salah at the Jamia Masjid in Khabarani. The message for the groom: my son Sajid, I am so proud of you. You have followed the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May your marriage be filled with everlasting happiness, love, respect and understanding. May Allah bless you and Tasneem. We wish you, our brother Sajid, a blissful married life with good moments to cherish together forever. Tasneem, we welcome you in our family. Lots of love from mommy, your sisters and brothers. And a message to the bride, Tasneem, from the parents. To Tasneem and Sajid, a message from mom and dad. Our Almighty Allah has mentioned in the noble Quran, and we created you in pairs. Today, our beloved daughter Tasneem, you are completing half of your iman. We could not feel more at ease knowing that our dear Sajid is your perfect match and that he will make you happy. Sajid, as you know, Botswana is popular for its diamonds. We are sending our diamond to Mafikeng. We hope that you will keep it shining forever, inshallah. My Tasneem, words cannot express how much we will miss you. Your father, mum, brothers, sister and sister-in-laws, niece and nephew will miss the live wire in the house. Your sister Fatima and family will miss you too. Today is not an easy day as we bid farewell to you with mixed emotions. Go well, our daughter. Remain steadfast on your deen. Obey your husband and Almighty Allah will keep you both happy, inshallah. With love and du'as from mom, dad, the beloved family and your sister from Johannesburg, Fatima and family. The nikah of Faisal Mal, the son of Muhammad and Rashida of Newcastle, to Zakia Ahmad, the daughter of Qasim and Nasreen of Denhauser. This nikah taking place on the 20th of October at 4:45 p.m. The venue is the Denhauser Masjid. That is the nikah of Faisal Mal to Zakia Ahmad. Nikah taking place on the 20th of October at 5:45 p.m. at the Denhauser Masjid. Our dearest Zakia, as the hour draws close, our hearts become heavy, yet we are filled with a sense of happiness and peace, for this is a joyful occasion. Our precious daughter, you have filled our home with joy and love. You encompass everything a parent could want for in a daughter. For this we are grateful. As you prepare for the next but most important chapter of your life, we pray that you have Allah's countless blessings with you. We wish for you a lifetime of endless love and happiness. You, our dear daughter, are about to fulfill half your iman. This is no minor feat. Always remember Allah first in everything you do. If your Rabb is pleased with you, no harm or hardship can befall you. And the next message is for the bride and the groom. Dear Faisal and Zakia, Allah says in the Quran, I created you from one soul, and from the soul I created its mate, so that you may live in harmony and love. With this in mind, always remember to pray together. An occasional compliment won't hurt anyone. Always be the first to compromise. Don't have high expectations. Accept each other for who you are. Don't try to change one another. Forgive one another. And most importantly, respect one another. Inshallah, you will live happily ever after. Our love and du'as are always with you. We will miss you tremendously. And this message is from Daddy, Dada, Nani, Mama, Papa, uncles, aunts and cousins. The next nikah. The nikah of Sheikh Ahmed Ali Musa Lorgat, the son of Mufti Ali Musa Lorgat, to Alima Amina Binte Saleh Mayat. This nikah will take place on the 20th of October after Asr Salah. Masjid Muqimus Salah is the venue for this nikah, and that is in Bertrams. That is the nikah of Sheikh Ahmed Ali Musa Lorgat to Alima Amina Binte Saleh Mayat. This nikah taking place on the 20th of October after Asr Salah. The venue is Masjid Muqimus Salah in Bertrams. The message to the bride: Alhamdulillah, this day has finally come. It was long awaited and has arrived. It's almost time I can finally call you mine forever. I ask Allah to grant us forever together till we walk into Jannatul Firdaus hand in hand. The message to my family, Jazakallahu Khairan, for having done so much for me and always stood by my side. And to my future in-laws, I look forward to meeting a new family and being part of you. Allah unite both our families with happiness and mahabbah. The next nikah, the nikah of Zakir Isub, the son of Muhammad Yusuf and Faiza of Lanasia, to Razina Ismail, the daughter of Muhammad and Shahnaz of Lobatse in Botswana. This nikah taking place on the 20th of October after the Dhuhr Salah. The venue is the Houghton West Street Masjid. That is the nikah of Zakir Isub to Razina Ismail. Nikah taking place on the 20th of October after the Dhuhr Salah. The venue is Houghton West Street Masjid. We make dua that Allah grant them a blissful marriage filled with barakah and pious offspring. Ameen. The nikah of Tahir Majid, the son of Sulaiman and Nawal of Raylands, Cape Town, to Shazia Jassat, the daughter of Muhammad Farid and Faiza Jassat of Saxon World in Johannesburg. This nikah taking place on the 21st of October at 11 a.m. at the venue for this nikah is Tuscany in Raylands, Cape Town. That is the nikah of Tahir Majid to Shazia Jassat. This nikah taking place on Sunday, the 21st of October at 11 a.m. The venue is Raylands, Tuscany in Raylands, Cape Town. The message to the bride, our dearest Shazia, one day from now you will be a married woman and the spectrum of your life will be forever changed. Our dua is that this change be one of contentment, understanding, kindness and unending love, inshallah. From both your grandparents, parents, your aunties, uncles, your cousins abroad, and not forgetting your only foy, Yasmin. And with that, we come to the end of the nikah announcements this morning. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah fill their marriages with happiness, with barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a pious offspring. We take a short break. When we come back, we are joined by Mufti Muhammad Aku as we continue the profile of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This week, we look into the life of Abu Basir radiallahu anhu.
In the sixth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the dream that he is performing Umrah with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He announces to them that we go towards Mecca in Ihram, and we will perform Umrah when Allah wills. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes with 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And en route, the Meccans hear of their arrival. The Meccans send armies to stop them. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam each time, you know, quelted those armies away and defended themselves and did not fight. And when they had defeated those men or those groups that had come, the Muslims had forgiven them. And at one stage, Allah Ta'ala made it that the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knelt down. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were worried what happened. Khala'at al-Qaswa. Qaswa has now refused. Qaswa is now refusing. What had happened? Allah's Nabi said, it's not Qaswa, everything is from Allah. Habasaha habisul fil. Allah who withheld the elephant is the same Allah who is withholding Qaswa, Allah's Nabi's camel, from marching towards Makkah. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba that our intention is not to fight. And any request or any offer or truce that can be offered to us, we will accept it. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we are not here to fight, we are here for Umrah and we want peace. As Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, immediately Qaswa gets up and it marches towards Makkah Mukarramah. Now the Muslims were barred at a place called Hudaybiyah, just outside Makkah Mukarramah. Scholars discuss the issue of jurisprudence, whether Hudaybiyah is part of Makkah or just outside Makkah. Nonetheless, Muslims were camped there. There was need for water. There was a spring that had no water at all. There were just a few drops. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told a Sahabi, put my spear into the spring. And as it was propped, shafted into the ground, water came out gushing from there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand and water came out gushing from his Mubarak hands. So if we put the two reports together, it would have been that water would have come out from the spear of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the blessed hair, the hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate are Sahaba radiallahu anhum who had the opportunity to drink this water. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awaiting the permission of the Meccans, because they did not want to fight, each time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent messages to them saying that we have not come to fight, ma ji'na li qital, we came for peace, we want to perform Umrah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified this for them. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Uthman radiallahu anhu inside to negotiate and explain to them that why have we come. And in this, Uthman radiallahu anhu presented the messages of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them, and he went to meet the Muslims who were being oppressed. And among the Muslims being oppressed is this hero that we speak about, Abu Basir. Abu Basir, Utbah bin Asid bin Jariyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abu Basir was among them. They were being tortured in Makkah Mukarramah. He was not allowed to migrate. Abu Basir radiallahu anhu says, when Hijrah took place, he was stopped by his people. He was not allowed to come. And he says that we were actually, imprisoned. And we were harmed in Makkah Mukarramah. He says they would torture us so much that every time the Muslims had conquered them or defeated them, they would actually vent their feelings and their rage and take it out on us. And every time this would happen, and they would not allow us to depart. To such an extent that Sulh al-Hudaybiyah takes place. Uthman radiallahu anhu goes to meet Abu Basir. And he goes to meet the others like Abu Jandal and so forth. And to give them reassurance that Allah's help is coming soon. Do not worry. Turn to him. Continue in ibadat. Continue in amal. And in this they offered Uthman radiallahu anhu tawaf. He refused. He says, how can I perform tawaf when my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't done so yet? And in this, there was a rumor that Uthman radiallahu anhu was shaheed. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Sahaba for Bay'atul Ridwan. Sahaba were prepared to give their lives. But in this interim, when things got cleared out that Uthman radiallahu anhu was not killed, then the Meccans had sent people to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quite a few of them came. Budayl bin Warqa came. Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi came. And each time they came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomed them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that we have not come to fight. This is why we have come. And finally, they sent Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr was the one, he was a man who would negotiate for the Quraysh. And as he comes out, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that now they want negotiations. And what was the discussion here? The discussion was that we will cease fire. There will not be any fight for 10 years. There will be peace. And also among other clause of the truce is, but if any person from Makkah comes to Medina, he cannot be welcomed. And if anyone from Medina wants to come to Makkah, he would be welcomed and he can be allowed. So this was a blow on the Muslims, it seemed outwardly. Among other clause was that this year you cannot perform Umrah. Umrah, no Umrah this year. What will the whole entire Arabia say? That you'll put pressure on us and we gave in to y'all. We're not prepared to accept this. In this, the document was being written. Ali radiallahu anhu writes down, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dictates that this is the agreement between Muhammad Rasulullah. What do they say? No, you're not Rasulullah. Don't write Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, write Muhammad bin Abdullah. And like this it carried on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in. And in this, a sahabi finally makes his way out of his shackles. He's tied up. He's chained. There's boulders tied to his chains. He gets himself out of this dungeon, so to say. He escapes from the clutches of the dens of the lion. And he runs out and runs with this pain, with this weight. And he finally, so to say, with his last breaths, makes it into the camp of the Muslims when this agreement was about to be signed. What was his name? Abu Jandal. Abu Jandal. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, it's part of the clause that none from the people of Makkah, from the Muslims, can come to Medina. But we haven't yet signed the document. Just accept this one person for me. Ajizhu li. Just this one person I ask for. After this, yes, we would have signed the document and we'll carry it out as the clause says, because we uphold our agreements. Ajizhu li. Suhail says, never. Then we will not even go forward with this agreement. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, please, just this one. He said, I will not do so. Allah's Nabi said, please do so. Bala fa'al. He said, ma ana bifa'il. Abu Jandal emotionally screams now, when he realizes the foot of what had just taken place, that he was not allowed to join the Muslims. And then he cries and he says, oh Muslims, أُرَدُّ إِلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقَدْ جِئْتُ مُسْلِمًا. How can I be sent back to the mushrikeen? I have come as a Muslim. Don't you see what I have been through? I have been tortured and suffered in Allah's way. But Suhail refused. The astonishing part, my respected listeners, is Suhail is the negotiator on behalf of the mushrikeen. And this young man who makes it to the camp, he's a Sahabi by the name of Abu Jandal bin Suhail. Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu. And Abu Jandal is the son of Suhail. Abu Jandal is Suhail's son. Imagine, look at Islam. On the one side, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is speaking for the Muslim. And here his own father wants to keep him under torture. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq. When people come to Islam, you are his Muslim brother. We are the Muslim brothers and sisters, my respected mothers and fathers. We have to show them more kindness than their own mothers and fathers also. Because Islam unites us. Islam creates that bond. Because this is the beauty of deen and this is the effort of iman. The Muslims are now returning, but they hurt. And they worried. They're going back. Allah reveals the verses of the Quran to reassure the Muslims. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Verily we have given you a clear-cut victory, an open victory. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, there's no greater victory than Sulhul Hudaybiyah. There's no greater victory than Sulhul Hudaybiyah. Ibn Shihab Zuhri rahimahullah explained, see what a victory it was. See what a victory it was. That in these 2 years, from the occasion of Sulhul Hudaybiyah, which is latter sixth year, right till Fathu Makkah, which is 8th year Hijri, in the span of 2 years, more people got Hidayat than the entire 19 years that had passed already, 13 years before Hijrah and 6 years after Hijrah. What a means of victory Hudaybiyah became. But what was Hudaybiyah? It was for the Muslims to realize that everything is from Allah and be happy with every situation, because every situation comes from Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns now to Medina Munawwara with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he gathers Sahaba and he sends them to different countries of the world. Now, one individual in Makkah Mukarrama, namely Abu Basir, Utba bin Asid radiallahu anhu, he says, I didn't know what was going on and about the sulh and the treaty and the truce and so forth. We were in Makkah, we were captivated there, we were locked up. We were in bondage and we were under oppression and tyranny. Maulana Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah writes that during the Sulhul Hudaybiyah, now all the oppression that was on the Muslims was now released. Muslims were not oppressed the way they were before. Even those in Makkah, the oppression that was unleashed on them before the truce was now released to a great extent. Then he writes so beautifully how great it became now that Muslims could go to their purpose and goal, which is Dawat to Allah. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba to different countries, because there's no anticipation of attacks from the sides of the Meccans and so forth. And then even those who were oppressed in Makkah could now, because the Meccans now confessed to their existence, now the Muslims could work on those around them. Because Muslims, wherever they are, whatever color they may be, whatever their race may be, their work is to invite to Allah's deen and not to keep it to themselves. So even in Makkah, this effort of inviting to Allah was taking place. Abu Basir radiallahu anhu says, I didn't know much of what had happened about the truce, but I managed to get some release from the Meccans, so I escaped and I rushed out. I ran out of Makkah with nothing. I just took my deen and I'm running to this, to Medina Munawwara, yearning for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm racing, I'm rushing, yearning, eager, desirous to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to be amongst my Muslim brothers. As soon as I set foot in Medina, and my eyes saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was so happy, so happy. There was worry on his face. Quraysh had sent two men, one from the Banu Amir tribe, another his ally. Two men had come with a letter from Quraysh to arrest Abu Basir, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fulfill this clause of the treaty and send back Abu Basir. Abu Basir says, I knew Allah's Nabi would never send me back. I didn't expect him to send me back. I didn't expect him to send me back into captivity. I knew I was safe now. I am safe with my deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with me. I am protected. Allah's Nabi said to me, Oh Abu Basir, we have an agreement with these people. And we are Muslims. We stand firm onto our agreements. And the truth is that there will not be fight from both sides. And also, so you will not be harmed. And also, anyone from Makkah cannot be welcomed in Medina. And anyone from Medina can go to Makkah. This was one of the clauses of the treaty that was very hard for the Muslims to obey. But there's khair in everything that happens. But Abu Basir, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَاعِلٌ لَكَ وَلِمَنْ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فَرَجًا وَمَخْرَجًا فَانْطَلِقْ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِكَ. Allah will open your way. And for all the Muslims who are being oppressed in Makkah, Allah will open your way. O Nabi of Allah, should I be sent back to those people who are torturing me and who are unleashing their wrath upon me just for my deen, just for Allah in my life, for my Islam? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Abu Basir, depart. Allah will open your way. Allah will give you faraj. Allah will open your way and alleviate your challenge. Wa makhraja. Allah will make it easy for you. Allah will give you faraj and makhraj. Abu Basir said, I went with them. We got to a place called Dhul Hulayfiya, 7 miles from Medina, and we just rested for a while. So I said to the man from Quraysh, from the Banu Amir tribe, hey, this sword of yours is very, very sharp. Oh, brother from Banu Amir, he said, yeah, it's very, very sharp, and I killed such and so, and I've done so much with it. He saw that I'm astonished. I showed him this praise, and I said to him, let me see it. You know, he said, sure, you can see it. And when I took the sword in my hand, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is a mushrik. He's taking me back to a land where they're going to torture me and force me to leave my deen. I'm not prepared. And then he's thinking to himself that Rasulullah sent me back. So he fulfilled his part of the clause or the treaty. But now I'm not prepared to go back. And I'm not in that clause, I'm not in that treaty. I'm oppressed there in Makkah. So he says, what I did is I unsheathed the sword from its sheath and I pounced onto him and I killed him. When his ally saw this and saw his companion dead in front of him, he ran for his life. I didn't want anything. I went back to Medina Munawwara. I went to Masjid al-Nabawi. I went to sit in Masjid. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees me and he says, hey, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees me and he says, what had happened? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen this individual. So when I had killed the one, the other ran to Masjid al-Nabawi. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen him startled and worried. And he said, what had happened? What's wrong? So he said, my companion has been killed. So Abu Basir radiallahu anhu says, I arrived in Medina Munawwara. And I said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have played your part and you fulfilled your part of the clause where you sent me back. But O Nabi of Allah, I'm not prepared to go back with these people. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu around him and he says, if he had men around him, لَوْ كَانَ مَعْهُ رِجَال. لَوْ كَانَ مَعْهُ رِجَال can be interpreted in a few ways. But one meaning here is, if he had men, war would have broke out. But لَوْ كَانَ مَعْهُ رِجَال, this statement, if he had men with him. So he says, I understood from here that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot keep me in Madinah Munawwara, and he fulfilled his part, and I am not prepared to go back to Quraysh after I killed their man, and it's gone too far. So he says, whatever the situation, I am going somewhere else. So he says, what I realized from there, that yes, I cannot be welcomed in Medina, but a Muslim is a Muslim wherever he is. And they were harming me. This is why I had to fight for my life. There was nothing wrong that I had done. He says, I go to an area called Ais. Ais. So I didn't go back to Makkah. I went to Ais. And this is near the seashore. Ala Sifil Bahri. Ala Sahilil Bahri. And this was on the route that Quraysh would tread on for their trade to Sham. So yes, to Sham, Syria. And in this, what had happened is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a truce with them. I am Abu Basir. I have no agreement with Quraysh. So I started staying in this area alone. And now Muslims in Medina, in Makkah, heard about me. And in this, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached them. لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ رِجَالِ. If he had men with him. So they understood from there that it would have been very good if other people would join me. لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ رِجَالِ. Until Muslims from Makkah couldn't go to Medina. But interesting in this whole situation was that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those of us who go to them, we don't want them because they are munafiq. If they are with us and they don't want to be with us, we don't want them. Because our deen is independence. We don't want people who don't want. But someone from them and they want us, Allah will open his way. Allah will open his way. And this is what we saw, what we see in the life of Abu Basir radiallahu anhu and Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu. There were quite a few women who actually came. Among them was Ummu Kulthum binti Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt was a famous enemy of Islam, but his daughter had embraced Islam. And she, with other women, had come to Medina Munawwara. Quran reveals an entire chapter called Mumtahina, and the other name of the chapter is Mumtahana, a woman who should be tested. What does this entire chapter entail? Actually, it refers to those women coming during this truce. When they arrive in Medina Munawwara, Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, test them. Are they running away from their men because they love some Muslim woman? Or are they coming for Allah, for the sake of Allah and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So in this, when these women came, Quran actually shows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to test these women, what questions to pose to them. And if they have sincerely come for Allah, they should not be sent back to Makkah. This is how this surah goes into detail. When the Meccans had wrote to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these women have come, you have to send them back. But look at Allah's shan and Allah's mercy. Allah had made it happen that in the document of the truce, it was specifically mentioned rajul, male, men. Women had nothing to do with it. So women were allowed to be welcomed in Medina Munawwara. And what would happen is, because now there were women who were in deen, Sahaba radiallahu anhum married them and so forth. And like this, they were given protection in Medina Munawwara. So Quran even speaks about this incident that happened, that women were allowed to be welcomed in Medina Munawwara. And now in this, Abu Basir is there in this area called Ais, and Sahaba who are in Makkah and not allowed to go to Medina are now joining Abu Basir. Those who are there are spreading deen. Others, you know, who are still being oppressed or being harmed and they tired of the tyranny of Quraysh are joining Abu Basir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And until so many people joined Abu Basir, there were over 70 people, meaning many, many of them. And they started establishing deen in this region, in this area. وَلَحِقُوا بِأَبِي بَصِيرٍ. And Mawlana Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah writes beautifully, وَصَارَ مَرْكَزَ دَعْوَةٍ وَقُوَّةٍ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That this area became a markaz of da'wat and teaching Islam. And even Quraysh started getting worried about them. Because now when Quraysh would take their caravans and go towards Sham, because this group of people, this band of people had no agreement with them. And they were tortured by Quraysh for many, many years. So they wanted to get back at Quraysh. So each time Quraysh would send their caravans, this group would, you know, raid those caravans and, you know, conquer and defeat those caravans. Until the caravans of Quraysh were not safe anymore. That's why finally, some time later, because Quraysh couldn't actually swallow this bitter pill of surrendering and submitting. They actually then wrote to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begging him that, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those Sahaba of yours who are there in this area, Ais, please do something about it." In this interim, Islam was spreading far and wide. Ibn Shihab Zuhri rahimahullah mentions that فَمَا فُتِحَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَتْحٌ قَبْلَهُ كَانَ أَعْظَمَ مِنْهُ. There was never a victory in Islam before the truce of Hudaybiyah that was greater than Hudaybiyah. To such an extent that during this truce, non-Muslims could deal with Muslims and vice versa. There was trade, there was buying and selling, there was association, there was communication. Muslims would come for Umrah and perform the Umrah. And then فَلَمْ يُكَلَّمْ أَحَدٌ بِالْإِسْلَامِ يَعْقِلُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا دَخَلَ فِيهِ. Muslims would deal with them and give da'wat to Allah. In their dealings was da'wat. This is something we need to bring into our lives. Allah has blessed us. Many are business people, doctors, lawyers, physicians, scientists. In our work, no matter what our field may be, we have to share Islam and work on the intellect of people. Explain to them logically. Think, ponder, understand that can you worship something that is made? Work on a person's mind. Make him think. Let him see the wisdom and the beauty of Islam. See how the Quran came. See what the Quran says. What the Quran said 1400 years ago, people are finding out the reality of it today. Think about it. Make people read. Encourage them. Explain to a person. Imagine you working with him, for him, side by side with these individuals for how many years, but we haven't told them. Explain to this person that if something is made by some factory, is made by some individual, some human being, can I worship that thing? Does it make sense? What am I showing the Creator who made me? Isn't this ungratefulness? Isn't this ingratitude? That he who made me, I'm denying him. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like this, in the most beautiful manner, explain to them about Allah, explain to them about Deen. And in this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then received the letter from Quraysh that, you know, the clause of the truce that said that we will not fight for 10 years and you can come for Umrah. And one said that one clause of the truce was anyone from Makkah cannot be welcomed in Medina, but anyone from Medina who wants to leave Islam could be welcomed in Makkah. That clause of the truce, please, we want to scratch that one out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happily agreed, and he wrote to his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were in this area, Ais. So Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Jandal, if you remember, he is the son of Suhail bin Amr. Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu says, while we were in this situation, وَفِيمَا نَحْنُ كَذَلِكَ, the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in this area. We made our town there. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting us to Madinah Munawwara, saying, please come to Madinah Munawwara. And our Amir Sahab, Abu Basir, was very sick at that time. So he was in his tent. So I took the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him. He took it by his mouth and he kissed Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter. And he said, present my salams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And saying this, his soul departed from his body. Abu Basir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abu Basir radiyallahu anhu leaves this world, his beautiful soul departs from his body, and he was buried in that region in which he established deen, in which he strove in Allah's way, he uplifted deen, and he didn't give up. He didn't forsake his deen. And all the remainder returned to Medina Munawwara, welcomed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they always remembered the sacrifice of their Amir, Abu Basir, Utbah bin Asid, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Jandal now comes to Medina Munawwara. Who was in Medina? His brother Abdullah. Abdullah was in Medina. Interesting was their case. Their father was a senior of Quraysh. And he was very superior. He used to be in the discussions and the negotiations of Quraysh, and he was like a diplomat to such an extent that Quraysh would send him to negotiate. He was a very senior, and he was known for his beautiful manner in his presentations and his lectures, to such an extent that when he spoke against Islam, their father Suhail, when he spoke against Islam, and when Muslims had conquered and defeated in Badr, he was also among the captives. Umar radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's permission. O Nabi of Allah, allow me to pull out his teeth, his front teeth, so he can never stand up again and give presentations against Allah's deen, against Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, we do not mutilate. And don't worry, Allah will show you from that same mouth a situation one day that will make you very, very happy. This was the father of the two. What had happened was, before Badr, Abdullah and Abu Jandal were both in captivation. They were both locked up by the father in the dungeon. What then happened? So before Badr, the two brothers were locked up. Abdullah used the tact. He said, this is battle, I have to get out of this cell. So he said to his father, you know, I'm regretting, I stood up for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you're going to fight him in Badr, let me join you. Abu Jandal didn't have the courage to do the same. He remained in captivity. He says, how can I see my father, you know, and how can I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How do I fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how do I fight against my father? He was in this confusion. So Abu Jandal remained in his incarceration, in this oppression. Abdullah joined his father, and as the Muslims were facing the non-Muslims in Badr, he ran to the side of the Muslims and fought side by side with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against his own father also. Anyway, so Abdullah was a great Sahabi. He sacrificed from the initial stages. So when Abu Jandal finally makes it to Medina Munawwara, he joins his brother. And they were so happy together. But Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, the same Suhail bin Amr, who stood up all his life against deen, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I saw him on the occasion of Fath Makkah, how he changed. He was presenting the camels of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was removing his blessed baal, his blessed hair, as it fell, Suhail would pick it up and place it in his eyes. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I thought to myself, what a contrast. Allah, how you give hidayat. The same person was refusing to write Muhammadur Rasulullah. Today he is making the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar, what effort Sahaba radiallahu anhum made. Then, not long after that, the one brother Abdullah became shaheed in Yamama during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Jandal and the father Suhail were very hurt, and they both made intention. We both also going to strive in Allah Ta'ala's path and give our lives for Allah Ta'ala's deen. And both father and son moved out in Allah Ta'ala's way, and they sacrificed and they strove till the end of their lives. And they were elderly, like Suhail was old, but still he would go to the young Sahaba, the Ansar, and he used to learn Quran. To such an extent, another elderly man from Quraysh said, Suhail, you learning from the Ansar? They are not from Quraysh, and so forth. So Suhail, in spite of his elder age, and in spite of his experience in lecturing and so forth, but he didn't feel shy to learn Allah's deen. He says to the other man from Quraysh, he says, Jahiliyyah is still in you. This tribalism and nationalism is still in you. He says, deen teaches us that you learn even from your junior, because in deen he is my senior. Then he says to them that you don't like it that they are given preference in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu, because they made greater sacrifice for Allah's deen. So he says to them, let me tell you straight. When they were given dawat, they embraced, they followed, they sacrificed. We refused, so we came last. If you're not going to sacrifice and strive now, on the day of Qiyamah, you're going to cry more. Yeah, it's Umar radiallahu anhu's court and they're given preference. Imagine the day of Qiyamah, they are called forth and we left behind. So sacrifice. This is how he sacrificed for Allah's deen. These were these great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abu Basir, Abu radiallahu anhu, Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu, Suhail bin Amr radiallahu anhum. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. صلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.